If you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation in chapter 16, we're making a progress through the book here, and we're at chapter 16 concerning the bowl judgments, or the vial judgments as they're sometimes called. So we'll begin with reading the chapter. Revelation chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon them who worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became like blood of a dead man. And every living thing or soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, who art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of this altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, who hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons, working miracles that go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. Loving Father, that you may add your blessing to the reading of the Scriptures, that you may open our hearts to the Word of God, and that by your Spirit you may minister it to us, that we may receive these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage, we find the further revealing, if you will, and unfolding of those judgments at the end of the tribulation period before the coming of the Lord. And so chronologically, this chapter is close to the end of the second coming of Christ, and the judgments then fall in rather rapid succession. And here we see that these things indicate that the time is at hand for these judgments. In the book of Daniel, in chapter 11, in verses 36 to 45, it says this: "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for grain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and he shall overthrow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be in his step. But tidings out of the east and of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with a great fury to destroy, and utterly make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Well, Daniel had a view of end things, end time things, and the sense that Antichrist would gather all the nations together against the Lord's anointed, and God shall have them in derision, and he shall laugh at them from the heavens. Psalm 2. How important it is that we realize that though these things seem very ominous, yet we find that they will occur even as God has ordained them to happen. And so the explanation of these several bowls here that are given is shown to us in chapter 16. We find that the pouring out of them then will happen in a very strong and forceful way to bring an effect upon people, upon the earth, and also that these bowls will work universally to bring judgment universally upon the earth, whereas the trumpet judgments were more local-type judgments and only partial. We find that these last judgments, are poured forth, are to be meant to be universal. And so the world will be greatly affected by these things. The first bowl of judgment that we find being poured out in chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God." And so God speaks his word out of the temple and orders that the angels, ordains that they should go forth and that they should pour out their bowls upon the earth. So this is the sense of universal judgment. In verse 2, and the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and painful sore upon men who had the mark of the beast, and upon them who worshipped his image. And so as we see here that these bowl judgments will be focused upon those who had taken the mark of the beast or are worshipping the beast. And so they are more directly affecting, in God's plan or in God's judgment, more directly affecting those whom he intends. And especially those of the who are loyal to the Antichrist. And so as God speaks, he instructs that these things should take place. And here we find that the bowl judgment is upon people to affect them physically. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a foul and painful sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Now, what kind of sore this is, we're not really told. Environmentally, I suppose it could be caused by a number of things. But as God uses this angel to pour out his wrath or judgment upon those of the who are loyal to the Antichrist, it affects them. And so it is as much a natural and physical phenomenon as it is a supernatural one. That is, God can do something supernaturally and affect somebody physically that they might think it being something other than supernatural. But God does the work behind the scenes. And what does God intend by allowing this kind of plague to fall upon people, but to cause them to repent and to turn to him? And of course, the best example that we have perhaps in Scripture of this is the plagues which fell upon Pharaoh and his people in Egypt. As we know that each one of those plagues are ordered by God and directed through Moses affected certain areas of the people and sometimes physically as well as in other ways. So here we find that this one falls physically upon those who are loyal to Antichrist. And or in the sense that they either took his name or they worshipped his image, which of course essentially means that they're loyal to Antichrist and not to God. The second bowl judgment here, and the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became like the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So as the first one affects the people physically at this time, the second one affects the environment in that it causes the sea to die. Now, is it real blood or is it like blood? Well, it says here that it became like the blood of a dead man, which might indicate to us that whatever kind of pollution is happening is caused in the sea, it affected all living things. Sometimes we have what's called red tide here in Maine and New Hampshire, and red tide usually affects a more local clamming industry, shellfish and things like that, and they can't eat the fish and they have to wait for the red tide to clear up. And it could be that God will cause supernaturally some kind of a pollution in the ocean that will affect all living things, as it has said here, and that effectively the ocean will die because of it. Everything will be ruined. No, you won't. And people get a great livelihood, of course, from the ocean, do they not? Just in Maine alone, they're always piping about how that the lobster industry produces so many millions of dollars, and I guess even right now that clams seem to be somewhat of a shortage here in Maine, certain kinds of clams, and of course the shrimp have been protected for quite a while. They can only take a certain amount of shrimp, and then there are restrictions, and we also find this in relationship to scallops and various other kinds of shellfish, that they're under protection many times, and because of the kind of the fragility of the ocean and the way that they are harvested, and I suppose that the warming of the waters, those kinds of things. And so all these things can affect what's in the ocean, and God is going to send forth this angel, and he will lay his hand, as it were, upon the ocean, that the ocean becomes polluted, so that the living things in the ocean die, and that will affect people all over the world, of course. Because it isn't just Maine and New Hampshire, of course, they get some livelihood from the ocean. We find that people all over the world depend upon the oceans to get their food from it. And so this will be a great judgment that will fall. Judgment upon the physical aspect of those who worship the beast. Judgment upon the ocean, that universally it will affect all people. The third bowl judgment here is given in verse 4. And the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became like blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, who art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus." So now we find that as much as the sea was affected, God is going to affect all waters, the rivers and the streams and the springs. And we immediately can understand the nature of the effect here, because groundwater and the waters and the rivers and the various tributaries, of course, are very important to life all over the world, all over the planet, all over planet Earth. Everything requires water and needs water to live and to survive. And so this is going to be a universal judgment of unprecedented kind that we're going to see. And here then the angel even makes the pronouncement, "God, you are righteous to do this. You are righteous because man has turned away from you. You are righteous because man has turned unto Antichrist and is worshiping Antichrist and has taken the mark. You are righteous because man has refused to repent. And in their refusal to repent, they have shown their rebellious hearts toward you. You are righteous because thou art God, and the time of judgment has come." And we have to wonder, perhaps sometimes we see environmental things happening all around the world. My wife was just telling me about a city in Nevada, I don't know if it was Las Vegas, it might have been Las Vegas, where they were just inundated with grasshoppers. I don't know if they were just grasshoppers or if they were actually locusts, but they were, the places just plastered with them. And this isn't the only time this has taken place, but there was a couple of other places that I read about much earlier this year that had severe locust problems. They had completely overtaken some areas in the world, other areas of the world. This is the first time I've heard about it in the United States. But these environmental things are beginning to happen. The Lord tells us that when you see these signs, you know the end is drawing near. Now, of course, it's not the first time these things have happened, and people will be quick to point that out. But we are looking at a biblical text that says that in the end time, at that time when God is judging the world universally, these things will take place in an unprecedented way. And I think that's the thing we need to take from it. As much as these things may occur, and God may allow them to occur out of natural reasons, there's going to be a time when God will bring judgment supernaturally upon the earth. And man will not be able to ignore it. In verse 6, "For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." So here God tells us why he is just and righteous in making these judgments upon the tributaries. Because man has shed the blood of the prophets and the saints. In other words, they have martyred the believing Christians. They have killed them. Of course, this has happened. This has been going on for many thousands of years, that the world has been killing Christians. And we find that it's still going on. In Africa today, it is going on. In China, it's going on. And Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and a lot of places which have been radicalized by Muslim groups have taken up their swords and they have killed many Christians. And more recently, there was a small village that they went into and killed about 100 of the inhabitants of that village in Africa. And I forget the name of the town where it was, but it was in one of the provinces. And he says, "God, you are worthy, and you are bringing this judgment upon man because they have been unjust and unrighteous toward you and would not repent." In verse 7, "And I heard another voice, another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, who exactly speaks this word? I don't know whether it's one of the elders or one of the four beasts, but it does say out of the altar, and so it may be God speaking directly from the altar in the temple. And it says, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." God is just and righteous in his judgments. And we find at the end of the age there will be these judgments which will be made against the unbelieving who have killed the saints and have killed the prophets. In verse 8, the fourth bowl judgment is also mentioned here. In verse 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given to scorch men with fire." And so this fourth bowl focuses in intense heat upon the earth. Well, so the environment becomes overheated. Well, even in Paris, I guess Paris, they've been having extreme heat. And in Britain, many of the areas of the world have been under great heat. And even the Midwest of our own country has been under a great lot of heat lately from the sun. And whether or not this is caused by depletion of the ozones or just what it is, God allows those things too. And God can do these kinds of things because he is Creator God. And he is sovereign over the lives of people, whether to give mercy or whether to exact judgment. God is able to do that. And so this fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And so this sense of the sun being overheated and the climate bring in such intense heat that we find that man is greatly affected by it and is being judged by it at this time. Verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, who had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. A couple of things that we should particularly note here is that they blasphemed God, the heat, and these various kinds of judgments now coming into play, the sores, the pollution of the sea, the pollution of the waters, and now the sun. All of these environmental aspects are taking a toll upon man, and what does man do? Man lashes out and blames God. Well, even today man does that. You know, there'll be something that will happen, and first thing they do is blame God for it. And so in this, at this particular time, the nature of man being so overtaken by the evil one and by Antichrist that it will, their natural nature is to blaspheme God. There's nothing else in them but to blaspheme God, because they will not repent, and that's what it says. And they repented not to give him glory. They would not glorify God in any way. And so they receive the judgment which is due them. The fifth bowl judgment here, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And so this fifth angel, in pouring out his judgment, as God has ordained him to do that, we find that it is against the throne of Antichrist, the throne of the one who is in power, the dictator, this world ruler. His kingdom is now under great torment from God, great judgment from God. And so the fifth angel pours out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, indicating his reign. And so he is not going to prosper in his ruling any longer. We find that he is he's going to be a dark horse, as it were. He's full of darkness. His kingdom will be full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Indicating that there was great personal torment to the people of the earth, that they were under great anxiety and pain, and so it affects people. And to gnaw the tongue for pain, to try to diminish pain by gnawing on the tongue, is a very extreme thing that one might do, for sure. And we find that that is what is taking place at this time. And what did they do? And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And so these same people who with the first judgment were given great sores, now they're given more pain. And that's what it seems to indicate here. Because of their pain and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds, the things that they had done, the evil which they had perpetrated against God and against others, still they refused, which shows us the nature of man and of his great willingness to rebel against God. And in this particular judgment, we find that perhaps there is some sense of demonic activity, because we find that Antichrist is definitely possessed of the evil one. The false prophet is possessed of the evil one. And so it is natural to assume that there are many upon the earth who are under the influence of evil spirits, or demons as we might call them. And we find that they will not repent of their evil deeds which they have done. The sixth bowl of wrath. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now in this we find that it is a special working of the prophecies of God involved, that the kings of the east must be prepared to come against the nation of Israel, the people of God, and against God, against Jesus Christ himself. Now, certainly Antichrist knows who he's fighting against. He knows that he is fighting against the Lord. We find that anti-Semitism is something which has been historically proven. It's something that people just seem to hate Israel, and they hate Jews. They just hate them. For whatever reason, there are many who hate them, even today. And we find that the hatred toward them will be even more inflamed. And the drying up of the Euphrates, of course, is a great river. And this great river, according to the word of God, must be dried up so that the kings of the east may cross over into the land of Canaan. And we find that that is a dividing river, a boundary, if you will, to the north. And these kings of the east must come over it. Today, of course, much of the river has been diverted in some sense, or dammed up in some sense, and is used for irrigation and so forth. And at certain times of the year, it is quite dry. I know even around here you can see some of the local rivers, and they're very low level right now because of the summer heat and so forth. And the Ossipee River up here, of course, they do dam up the Ossipee Lake. There's a dam there, and they dam it up so that there's recreation and so forth for the lake. So naturally they do that, and then the heat, it just draws it down even more. But so we can see where a large river could be made dry. God could do that, and he, with this great heat of the sun, which is poured out because of the fourth bowl judgment, the great heat of the sun, people are being scorched, people are in pain and suffering, the oceans are polluted, the waters are polluted, so the Euphrates River will be polluted, and it is also going to be dried up. And in the drying up of that river, we find that there'll be a natural tendency for the nations to become very angry and agitated against one country, one people who seem to be under the blessing of God. Notice it doesn't mention Israel here as being one of those that is greatly affected. Although we know that these judgments are universal, and so there's bound to be people there who are suffering under certain judgments because of their turning to Antichrist. But God means to preserve a land for his people. The rest of this goes into some explanation, if you will, of this sense of Armageddon, which we find in Scripture. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, these are naturally demons because it says they are, come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of demons. So we have these spirits, these unclean spirits. A frog, of course, is an unclean element. And we find that even in Egypt, right, there were the plague of frogs and various things God sent against them. So we find that these unclean spirits possess these three people, if you will, these three influential people that are used by the evil one, the great red dragon, if you will. They come out of the dragon. Of course, previously the dragon has been identified. He is Satan. He is the serpent, the old serpent. He is the great red dragon. So they come out of the dragon, and out of the beast, the Antichrist, out of the false prophet, these three are in some sense what we would say an unholy trinity. We find the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the holy trinity of God. These are an unholy trinity, if you will. but not holy in any sense. They're unholy, completely unholy, and they're full of demons. Working miracles. Notice by what they work miracles. They don't work miracles by the Spirit of God. They work miracles by the spirit of Antichrist, of the dragon, of demons. They're working by the demons. And they go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The great day of Pantocrator, which is a Greek word for God Almighty. Translated, God Almighty. The one who is above all and over all and in all and through all. He is the sovereign one of the universe, if you will. God Almighty. And that is the culmination, the coming together of these nations to the battle, the campaign of Armageddon. It is a series of campaigns of battle. If you will, the Third World War, kind of a Third World War that you're looking at in a prophetic sense. Verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Jesus says that it portrays himself in the scripture as one who comes without appointment and will come to bring the end to things. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Of course, the idea here is to keep oneself in righteousness and true holiness, the garments of holiness, lest one walk in shame. And of course, you may remember way back in the book of Genesis, what did Adam and Eve become subsequently affected by? The shame of their nakedness. So that is kind of a picture of the sin nature which was brought upon them because they were no longer holy as they once were. And so he says to those who would come to God, he says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. And so God is interjecting here something for us to take particular note of, that we ought to watch and be ready. We ought to live righteously and godly. We ought to make sure that our garments are the garments of righteousness as God has given them to us. Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And it is the valley of Jezreel, or near the city of Megiddo, and it is called Armageddon because it is a campaign, not just one battle, but culminating in that final stand, if you will, the nations crossing the Euphrates River, coming into the plain of Jezreel. And why are they there? But to defeat God. They are in rebellion, remember. The world is in rebellion against God. And by this time, Antichrist will have called the nations by these various spirits. God will have called the nations. Antichrist will have called the nations unto himself to fight against God. Now we say, well, how can that be? Well, because God is orchestrating these things. And it will come to pass because it is prophecy. It is prophetic to do so. In verse 17, we find the seven bowl wrath, the seventh bowl. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It's like Jesus on the cross saying, it is finished. God is now saying from the temple, it is done. It is finished. This is the last act, if you will. And so God speaks out of his temple and shows that this is the last one, the last bowl judgment. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And so this earthquake is earthquakes that will happen. Like, all of these were meant to be universally felt all over the world, and so now we have the sense of universal earthquakes. The earth is convulsing, the earth is shifting. Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. Now, what city is it? It is the city of Babylon. And some have speculated just where this city might be, or what it is referring to, whether it's referring to Rome, or whether it's referring to the old ancient city of Babylon, which might be rebuilt. I don't know. But it says that this great city, this city where evidently where Antichrist finds his throne, we find that this great city is divided in three, and so the earthquakes seem to affect everything and destroy everything. And so we find that the nations fell, the cities. The nations fell, universally affected everybody. And the great Babylon came to remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. It goes that God is bringing a direct judgment against the throne of Antichrist, Babylon the Great. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blaspheme God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plague was exceedingly great. So these are considered to be 100-pound weight hail coming out of heaven. Just as we've seen all of these judgments to the point where they are greater and mightier than anything that was ever before, we see the hail is as well. It's not just baseball size. It is huge, round, circular type hail, which is all ice. And it's pelting people. Of course, killing people and destroying, as well as the earthquakes. And we have really a true sense of apocalypse happening at the end. A true sense of it. And these are the judgments of God against those who will not repent nor give God the glory, because it is a world which has turned away from God and is now being judged. Shall we pray? Loving Father, though these things are ominous to us, at the same time they are fulfilling to the judgment and righteous nature of God, for he is holy and just, and he must judge an evil and an adulterous and idolatrous people who have turned away from him and brought this destruction upon themselves because of their great sin. I pray, Father, keep your people safe unto yourself. And though we may suffer the trials of and tribulations of things, yet you preserve us and take us unto yourself, and that we will eternally be preserved and protected of you. We thank you and praise you, Father, that you are a God of repentance, and that even to the end, all of these judgments are designed as much to bring to repentance as to show the righteous judgment of God. I pray, Father, your grace and mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.